prayed and asked God. I said, give me a message before I go to this game, because I know I'm probably not going to get home till late, and I would really like to not have to worry about the message, Lord. I don't know if y'all talk to God like that. I do. I'm playing with him. I just like, Lord, I'd like to get a message. And he gave me like this laundry list of message. And he probably knew how scattered my mind was going to be this morning. So a laundry list is good. All you men should say amen. You know what a laundry list is, right, men? Like when you go to the grocery store, your wife gives you a list. When I go to the grocery store, I'm on a mission. Amen. I'm trying to break my previous record. I'm trying to figure out best parking spot, enter and exit, right? Hopefully I got everything that's on the list. Never do. Melissa's shaking her head right now. Always one thing's not on the list. Always. But I like a list because I can just go down through there and check it. And Hebrews 13 is no different than that. What it is in the first 8 verses, God has given a laundry list. There's going to be 8 separate messages here. So there's a lot of people here. I consider you probably all in different places in your life and situations that are going on in your life. So this will be a help to you. If God nails something in your life or exposes something in your life, then you make your way to this altar and pray and seek the Lord. If not, do business with him right where you're at. As a pastor here, I do have a suggestion, though. I'm just going to lay this out there. And I'm not trying to tell you your business. It ain't like I'm, you know, can force you to do anything. But if you see somebody come up here and pray in this altar, and you see them up there doing business with God, come up here and be with them. Hear what I just said. Nobody in this church, especially a family member of this church, when I say family member, when they're in this altar praying, come up here with them and pray. Amen? It ain't. You know what's going to happen, don't you? I'm just going to be real with you. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to come up here and support. And then God's going to do business with you. Then you'll stop supporting and you'll start getting some help. Amen? I felt like a real pastor there for about 2 seconds. Amen? Because I could feel the grind in some of y'all's gears. Don't you tell me when to come to the altar. I'm just being honest with you, though. Every single time I thought I was going to come help somebody else, put my hand on somebody else's shoulder and say, God, help them. All of a sudden, God says, you can take that hand off their shoulder now. I'd like to talk to you. Y'all ready to get in the Word of God? Hebrews 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Amen. The Bible says you'll know you passed on from life unto death when you love the brethren. There's a double meaning here. It's not just a love. It's a love that's so compassionate and so loving towards other people. You'll know when you're really in Jesus Christ. You'll know when God's really changed you, because you'll love people with a mercy and understanding. You'll have a heart for them, and you'll want to minister to them. You will think about them before yourself. You'll put them up. You'll put them over. You'll want to see them succeed. You'll say, my God, don't help me, help them. Amen. Meet their need. You'll come into a situation where you'll start thinking other people, even when they hurt you. Touch your neighbor here and say, even when they hurt you, amen. There'll be times, even when somebody hurts you, somebody in this church will hurt you. Stick around long enough, you're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to get mad. You're going to get aggravated. You're going to get frustrated. And guess what? Even then, if God dwells in you, you'll find yourself going, God bless them anyway. God use them anyway. Have you ever noticed, I might just preach everything I know right here. Have you ever noticed anything, when God allows something to agitate you, it ain't about the other person anyway? Praise God. Do you know in a washing machine, the main ingredient in the washing machine is the agitator? Whew. Without the agitation, the stain remains. Amen? Sometimes God allows some things to happen in your life continuously where you'll know that you still got some things in your life that need to be worked out. Some of you need to realize this without a shadow of a doubt. Some of y'all keep saying things like, this is what I always do. This is what happened to me again. Oh, this happened to me. You know why? Because that's still in you. Amen? God will allow certain things to happen to you to get it out. Boy, I'm not preaching to everybody. I'm preaching to you, babe. I'm telling you this morning. There's some things in my life that I go, God, did you see him? God, did you see her? Did you see that? And God said, no, I'm seeing you. Amen? If you would come to me now and get that out, you won't have to worry about it anymore. Let brotherly love continue. Do you love people? I'm going to be honest with you. Ministry ain't nothing. It's love God and love people. Amen? Well, if you get mad every time you come to church, every time your tires start heading this way, you start thinking, oh, so-and-so's down there. Oh, sister so-and-so. Oh, brother so-and-so. Oh, old preacher this. Old singer that. Praise God. You know who's got the biggest problem? You. Amen? You know what you need to do? Don't make it to the house of God. Pull over on the side of the road. Repent. And ask Jesus to heal your heart. Amen? Let me tell you two biggest enemies in the house of God. The devil and you. Amen? And if when you get those two figured out, you'll be in glory. Amen? When you get that second one figured out, you'll be standing in the presence of God. Whew, glory. Y'all want to have altar call now? How many points we got so far? One. We only got seven more. Bear with us, right? Some of y'all right now going, goodness gracious, I ain't ever been to this church before. I don't know if I'm coming back. Well, guess what I heard when I was growing up as a preacher? One guy told me, said, if you only get one shot to preach, unload the wagon. You're getting everything we got. If you don't come back, you'll have enough to feed on next week. Verse 2, amen. Verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Thereby some have entertained angels unaware. I've been hearing this verse my whole life. Oh, angels. Amen? Oh, we want to, some people get on board with these angels. They want angels to show up. They worried about angels. Praise God, here's what I think. Every time an angel showed up in the Bible, every single time in the Bible, if an angel showed up, God was about to do something. Amen? What it's saying is, if you've got an angel showing up, if God has pressed himself out to send a messenger to show out in front of you, that means God's about to do something in your life that's huge. You better get ready. You know what my favorite angel story in the Bible is? You want my favorite one? Mary Magdalene. That's my favorite one. And I was sitting there going, thank you, Jesus. She set it up like a T-ball at a T-ball game. He does this to me every once in a while. He says, Kevin, you know, you preach these messages so many times in so many different ways, but praise God, I'll sneak one in there for you. See, on the day of resurrection, when Jesus went to he died on the cross for your sins and mine. If he didn't die on that cross, we wouldn't have a way into heaven. They put him in a grave, and on the third day, he was resurrected. On that third day, when he come out of the grave, that means me and you can come out of the grave. Hey, it'd be all right for you to shout every once in a while. Praise God. We'll come out of the grave. And because he ascended up into heaven, we'll ascend up into heaven. That's the gospel. Amen. Oh, Mary Magdalene had seven devils in her. Amen. And on the day of resurrection, she went to the tomb to prepare the body of Christ. She went down there to clean up a mess. She went down there to straighten up a bad thing. Have anybody ever tried a golly bum? Has anybody ever gone to clean up a bad thing? You think God, you're going to help God out and you're going to clean up his mess? Whew, good God, we could have altar call right there. Some of y'all are thinking y'all are fixing God and God's house. Praise Jesus. She goes, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to clean Jesus up. I know those two guys took him to the tomb. There's no way they got the body right. There's no way they prepared him right. Amen. I know. If you told me two men went down there and prepared something, I'd tell you right now, it's probably a halfway job. Amen. It's probably a halfway job. It took about 7-10 women to go down there the next morning. They was all going down there to do one thing, fix the mess. They got down there to the tomb, and guess what? Jesus said, I didn't need anybody to fix the mess. I fixed it myself. Whew. got down there, and the napkins, the linen napkins and everything were folded up nice and neat at the end of the tomb. They got down there, and I found out that Jesus said, the angel said, remember the angel I was talking about? Why you seek the living? Woo, why are you doing it? Why are you doing it? Some of y'all still seeking the living amongst the dead. Some of y'all are still trying to get into dead things and hoping you're going to find a life in it. Woo! You want to have altar call now? There ain't nothing in your life in this temporary world that's going to bring the satisfaction like Jesus. You can get it stamped on, wrote on, drunk on, smoked on, laid on, gold on. Man, I'm telling you right now, if you will get Jesus Christ, He will satisfy you. Did y'all come for this service? Some of y'all going right now, man, this is for, we need to win more often. Man, whether our teams win or our drivers win, we are winners every which way. Amen? God woke up this morning and said, if you believe in me, you're going to win either way. Amen? And I love that about Jesus. Watch this right here. That angel, I love, the tomb had emptied and all of them had ran away. Everybody had went back. I love in the scriptures it said John and Peter had ran down. Mary Magdalene went down to the tomb, talked to the angel, went back, got Peter and John. John outrun Peter to the tomb. He put it in there. Good God, I love, me and Charlie agree on that. If you're halfway competitive, you'd want it in the book. We had a foot race to the tomb, and I blistered that old dude. I mean, the one in whom God loved can run. Amen? It's all right. Smile a little bit. You're in church. But they came, and they saw, and they left, and Mary Magdalene came back to the tomb, and she wasn't going to leave. You know why she wasn't going to leave? Because she had never found anything like Jesus. And all she had before Jesus was seven devils in her life. And she said, where could I go? I ain't got a backup plan. Man, I'm telling you this morning, I don't have a backup plan. I don't have a plan B. It's go for Jesus till the last breath is exhausted. You can go back to fishing. You can go back to hunting. You can go back to living. You can go back to your job. You can go back to your family. Mary Magdalene sitting under at the tomb going, I don't have nowhere to go. Because since Jesus, what else is there? And two angels show up. My favorite angel story. This is my favorite one, Ed. My favorite angel story. Mary Magdalene looked back down into the tomb one more time. There's two angels down there, messengers of God. Said, hey, go on, sis. He's all right. You can go on about your business. You ain't Jesus. God. Now, she turned her back on him. That's what the Bible said. She took one look and went, angel one, angel two, you ain't Jesus. Angels is good and all. But once you've been with Jesus, angels just won't do. Amen? They want nothing else to do. She turned her back. She just turned her back. Them two angels in there go, God, we're doing everything we can. We tried to straighten her out. Amen? But guess what happened? Jesus. I didn't mean to get stuck on this one point, but Jesus. Some of y'all are wondering why God won't work in your life because you've got other plans. You're trying everything and Jesus. Mary Magdalene said, I just want Jesus. Everybody's salvation got put on hold. You can read it in the scriptures. It's there. Jesus done dispatched angels. She don't want no part of that. God's like, time out. Mary Magdalene, got to go down here. Shows up down in the garden again. She looks at him. Thinking he's the gardener. He is. I'll preach that every time the same way. He is. He's the only one that can take something that's unfruitful, not even a good tree, and touch it and make you fruitful and make you good. Anybody else been grafted in? Whew. took a no-good plant and tied you to a good vine? Whew. Man, that'd make you run a lap. Supposing him to be the gardener. I love her. Where have you laid the body at? I want him. Give me the crucified body of Jesus. I'll take him. Then what'd he do? Y'all remember what he did? He said, Mary. See, y'all get me to preach everything I got. See, if you've ever come out of the darkness into his marvelous light, he once had to call you by your name, and there was so much going on. See, Mary Magdalene had 7 devils on the inside of her. She was completely overtaken by the enemy, and she had probably not heard her name in a long time and said in a good way. I remember when I got saved, I hadn't had my name said in a good way in a long time until God said it. So he calls out to her and says, Mary, and casts him 7 devils out. But now here she is down at the end, and he says, Mary. And she turned and she says, Rabboni. Man, if y'all don't get that, I know it's a translation, but it's Master. Whoa, glory. Whoa. Master, what she's saying, God, I've been looking for you. God, I've been looking for you. You know what he's saying? I know. God, I know. I wish there's some people in here this morning say, you know, I'm looking for him. I didn't come here for you. I didn't come here for the church. I didn't come here for y'all to like me. I didn't come here for y'all to show I came here looking for him. And if you hear him, Jesus, don't touch me. I ain't even ascended unto the Father yet. You're putting everybody's salvation on hold. You think she was sorry? She goes, I don't care if everybody's on hold. I want Jesus. I wish we'd get that way. We get to the point where, like, man, we're running late. You know what I noticed? I never looked at my clock last night. We get to church, though, and it's like, oh, man. How many verses are we on? God, we going to try to get to 8? Somebody tell me what I'm doing wrong as a preacher. I tell you, man, I get caught up. Remember them that are in the bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body. I got 10 messages last night from the game. I did. But I give you one. I sat next to a guy named Jordan. Peyton laughed about it. He sat down beside me. His might have been inebriated. Was. But he looked at me and he goes, I'm going to be loud the whole game. And I said, all right, bud, all right. Peyton looking at me laughing. But there were several things that happened during the game. One time, as a guy just fell out of 4 rows above us, he just fell, and it caused a domino effect. And there was a little girl at the very bottom of the pile, and I picked one guy up, and I got her up, and I said, are you all right? She says, I'm good. And then we just slowly started picking people back up, putting them back up there. And old Jordan leans over to me and says, I've been there. And I went, wow, all right, all right. I've been there. I've been the guy that's Phil. Then we looked over, and there was one guy. He was in a set of overalls, had a hat on, and it just kind of like went to sleep with his hands out like this. Jordan leaned over and goes, I've been there. I've been that guy. A few minutes later, there's a guy getting falling this way, falling that way, and they're propping him up. Everybody's laughing at him and everything. Golly, he ain't going to make it. No, Jordan leans over. I've been that guy. Why am I telling you that this morning? Why am I bringing that up here? We got to remember. Whatever, when you see somebody out there, you got to have that humble spirit when they're broken and their life's messed up and they're doing things that are terrible and you can't explain it and you don't know what to do. You pray for them and you got to remind yourself, that was me. Without the grace of God, that's me. You know what you do? You do what some people did in my life. They get together and they get together behind some places and pray that God would save that person and would love that person and bring that person. You don't look at them and go, how dare they? How messed up they are. Oh man, they'll never make it into the kingdom of God. Yes, they can. And if they want to, they will. Remember where you have an humble spirit. That meek and brokenness. Remember where you came from. It's in the Beatitudes. Amen. Remember where you came from, lest you think, well, I could never fall back there again. You might. And you might need somebody to love you when you're unlovable again. Verse 4, I know this one's going to hit a little different because it's a laundry list. Why is it even here? Marriage is honorable in all, the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. How are you going to preach this morning in that laundry list? Fight for your marriage. Fight for it. You know what it's saying right there? God ain't doing this where you can't have a good time, where you can't meet somebody, where you can't have this and that. What God is saying is, guess what? It's only going to hurt you. There's nothing out there for you if I have put you together, husband and wife. Fight for that because there ain't no good outside of that. Let me give you the way they always told me. The grass is always greener on the other side, right? But sometimes we forget that they're septic tanks. Amen? Amen? Oh, man, look how green that grass is. I'd like to have that. Yeah, but right up underneath the surface is a real mess. Amen? And guess what? You will get past the surface. Can I give you another analogy on that before we move along? Well, that grass is green over on the other side, but that yard looks good over there. How about working in your own yard? Amen? How about dating your wife again? How about dating your husband again? How about going and pursuing her? How about spending more time talking to them than you do everybody else? Well, let me go ahead and step on in it while I'm here. Why don't you just go in your house and say, everybody got to leave. But baby, you ain't got to go. We got some things we got to work on. Amen? How about a kind word? How about practicing something you ain't ever... Hey, can I give y'all another analogy? Yes, preacher, give me another one. Hey, there was a guy, he went to... Him and his wife were going to get a divorce, and the wife went to the divorce attorney and said, what should I do? I really want to get him. I can't stand him. He said, you want to really get him? She said, yeah. He said, go home for the next 6 months. We'll be preparing the paperwork. You go home for the next 6 months. You cook him 3 meals a day. You iron and press his shirts and shirts. You tell him you love him. You give him a kiss every day before he leaves work. You do that every time for 6 months. And that 6 months, we're going to roll in over them papers. We'll serve him. Man, that will devastate him. She said, you got it. Oh, that's a good plan. So she went to proceeding to do that. And the next thing you know, within about a month or two, that husband's like, man, my wife loves me. He started buying her flowers. He started dating her again. He started pursuing her again. And at the end of the 6 months, she went in and the lawyer called her in there and said, are you ready to hit him with these papers? No, I love that man. He's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. What's going on with you? I love her. She started loving me. Some of y'all just need to fight for your marriage again. Stop looking out there going, man, there's somebody else out there. No, there's somebody in your life. God, I could preach a million days on that. The things you're going through with your wife and your husband, you'll go through with somebody else. If you fail it this time, you'll fail it the next time. Because you're taking the same person into the new relationship that was in the old one. You. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Man, that's a hard one, ain't it? That's what the devil will wear you out with. Everybody's got it better than you. Watch this right here. I love this last part. Because God knows you. What? He said, for he said, I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee. You can have everything. I got Jesus. And Jesus knows me. Can I preach right here? Sometimes, you know, Jesus knows you better than you know you. So have you ever told Jesus you're going to do a bunch of big stuff for him? God, if I get this, I'll do this. And if I did this, I would do that for you. And God's sitting over there going, I know you. Amen? I know you. If I gave you that, it'd ruin you. I can remember when, as I was coming up, when Peyton and Courtney were younger, they would ask for certain things. Amen? Peyton, if y'all don't know him, he's always wanting a gun. Always. I mean, there was never a satisfaction of like, okay, this is one of the most high-powered pellet guns there is. How about a .22, Dad? Well, I'm not sure that you won't shoot your sister with it. Amen? I'm pretty sure you might. Amen? Because I had to know him, and I had to know the situation. We will get there, but we don't get there when we get there. Amen? God's same way with you. Some of y'all want a bigger job, want a bigger paycheck, want a bigger house, want bigger this, that. Give it. You know what God's saying? If I do that, I'll ruin you. Amen? Love me right where you're at. Show out right where you're at. Some of y'all telling God, if I get a bunch of money, I'm going to write a check to God. Well, you got a little bit of money. Do you write a check to him now? Oh, gosh, preacher preached on money. Might as well wrap up the altar call now. Do you know that's the only thing? I'm not going to preach on your money. If you don't want to give your money to God, keep it. Somebody will get it. Amen? But I want to tell you this. Praise God. You know that's the only part of this service that you could come in here and you can worship God honorably and honestly and say, God, you give me a job. You bless me. And this is the only thing I can truly give back to you. And it represents all my time. Money is time. Amen? So when you give God something back, you know what you're saying? Thank you. Amen? And I'm not telling you, tie this, do that. You will rarely get a message about money from me. Here's what I learned about God. If he gives it to you, give some of it back. If you enjoy what you're doing at church, give some back. That's it. Praise God. If he hits you with that tithe, you better do it, though. He taught me quick. I learned 3 plumbing lessons before I learned how to tithe. I'll tell you about them some other day. Verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You talking about amazing. If you'll ever get to this place right there, there ain't nothing a person can do to you. There's not a scheme. There's not a plan. There's not something. If God is for you, there's nobody that can be against you. Verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Here's what I tell you about that. Pastor Appreciation Month, we're going to preach to you. Just listen and apply. Listen. You do that good. Apply. Do that good. Amen? I'm amazed so many times people come to me and I say, well, this got this going on, got that going on. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, that was 2 weeks ago message, last week message. Praise God, just apply some of this stuff. Amen? Take something out of the message and go, I'm going to put that in my own life. That will help you greatly. Y'all ready? We'll end on verse 8. This is important that you know this. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forevermore. Jesus doesn't change. Jesus' word doesn't change. He is your judge, your Savior, amen, your sacrifice. That ain't ever going to change. The only way into heaven is through Jesus Christ. They ain't never changed. Amen? In John chapter 1, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? Amen? That's where it says. It said the Word has always been. And then it says right on the other side of that, that's a Christmas story in the book of John. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? I want you to know this. Your only hope, your only way to get into heaven is through one Jesus Christ. You can do a lot of things here at this church. You can be a part of a lot of things at this church. But the most important thing that you must get before you do anything else is understand that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven. You say, how do you do that? You ask for forgiveness of your sins. You repent of your sins. And you ask Him to be the Lord of your life. And then you look for the evidence of that. Because you will begin to be a different creature. Amen. You'll be a different person in Christ Jesus. Let's all stand as I come get a song. I hope it's been a help to you tonight.